poverty's not funny. And so then we don't try to make light of it. However, the solutions can be bright and hopeful and make us smile. So I think at the heart of it, we throw in all these puns because we do want the practical application of fighting poverty and helping others do that for themselves to be a very positive experience.
Welcome to the Ending Poverty Together podcast. I'm Eric.
And I'm Shalane.
We're here to discuss big questions about poverty in bite-sized ways. We have the pleasure of being joined today by Mike Prinz, an FH colleague and friend who is joining us today.
Mike is the Marketing and Communications Manager at FH Canada, and he helps oversee the creative team, among many other things, including bringing much laughter to our staff.
Mike is highly creative, he's a ton of fun, and contrary to the rumors that have been flying around, he is not the voice of any cartoon characters yet.
Not yet. Hey, Mike, welcome here.
Thank you. I'm flattered by such an introduction. So, and maybe this is my limelight to finally get onto some cartoon show.
I think this could be it. Yeah. Could be your 30 minutes of fame, Mike.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, given today's topic, it'll end up being, you know, some animal's voice. But hey, that could be great. Isn't that most cartoon shows?
That is most cartoon shows, indeed. Mike, I know you know how we start these podcasts because you listen to them every time we create one. We're going to start on the more serious side of things because we do ask everybody to finish the sentence, poverty is. So let's jump in right there.
Yeah, that is such a, I was jogging and I was thinking about that question. And then even that fact that I have the space to jog and think about what is poverty. But I think the thing that hit me most about that is it's an ugly space where someone can't meet their basic needs for them or their family, but then don't have the space to dream beyond that. And they don't have opportunity beyond that, or they don't have options beyond that. So I've always been impacted by some of the material you come across working in international development, where when those who maybe we in Canada think of as people living in poverty, when you ask them, what does that mean to them? It strikes you how it's often about, they don't have a space to do beyond. They don't have a space to sit and think and dream. They don't feel loved. They feel alone. It's all those social aspects. So a really ugly part of poverty is that people those that are struggling in those ways can't think beyond those moments. And even those of us in Canada that are experiencing poverty, we can't dream beyond the day to day. We can't dream beyond the situation we're trapped in. And then there's no hope.
I think you're bang on with that, Mike, for sure. And that is already such a contrary perspective on poverty than the kind of traditional definition of just not enough stuff, not enough things, not enough money. You've touched on that social aspect, the emotional, the like human side of it in a really powerful way. We'd love to hear a little bit more about your role at Food for the Hungry. And I mean, you and I have worked together for a few years, and I know that a kind of unofficial title that you carry at FH is head pun master. Is that correct? And how does that fit into your work?
Well, yeah, it's like the dad joke guy at the office, right?
So
who you dodge at the kitchenette because it's that you've had enough. The punning thing is a very fun seasonal thing for my team. But I am flattered to be called head punner. I don't know that I am per se, but we do get into these great runs where when you're preparing marketing material, we start to have a lot of fun. Presenting it in fun ways that would make people smirk or giggle or laugh. There's a lot of campaigns that we work in, some really great puns. So it is pretty fun.
And particularly the gift guide. That's kind of the peak of pun at FH. So, and that really is what we want to focus on today. So why don't you just jump right in and tell us about the gift guide?
Sure. Yeah, the FH Gifts for Change gift guide is a very powerful tool that Food for the Hungry has built up over the years. And we're not the only, of course, organization out there that maintains a catalog as such. But what it is essentially is a catalog where Canadians can look through all these different kinds of items that they can purchase as gifts for essentially people overseas or in partnering communities of FH. Usually their families are people that are in special need. So yeah, if you flip through the gift guide, there aren't hordes of items per se, but when you flip through the gift guide, you'll find things like the goat, the dairy cow, a sewing machine, and then there's other like more fun gifts like chubby cheeks and even where needed most, some of the basics, you know. So yeah, and its application is multifaceted. It's a very meaningful and practical way for people to give throughout the year, but its big season, of course, is the Christmas season when everyone is kind of out shopping and looking for meaningful ways to give yet another gift. But the bigger end of it is what it means for a lot of the people and partner and communities that we work with. So essentially it funds all kinds of programs that follow those items.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into the, so how does it actually work side of things, I would love to hear a little bit more of the rationale from your perspective, Mike. I've looked through the gift guide many times. I love that, you know, it's a great thing. When people look through it, as you've mentioned already, they'll notice that there is a sense of humor to it. My personal favorite is that you can purchase fertilizer, but it's called a piece of crap in the gift guide, which I think is amazing. What would you say is the rationale, though, for bringing that lightheartedness, the puns, the funny comments into a space where we're talking about something as serious as poverty? What's the thinking behind that?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, poverty's not funny. And and so then we don't try to make light of it. However, the solutions can be bright and hopeful and make us smile. So I think at the heart of it, we throw in all these puns because we do want the practical application of fighting poverty and helping others do that for themselves to be a very positive experience. So the puns work their way in as something that we want you to do as you're flipping through. We want you to smile and we want you to smirk and we want that to be a positive, I guess, shopping experience. And and I mean, for those of us out there that are, you know, the diehards and for all the altruistic things, no, it's a gift and you're giving and it's unconditional and all these things. Yeah, it is. But we want you to enjoy the process too. So, and we want to even help meet some of Canadians' needs for gift giving at big times of the year. So that's why we worked in some quirkiness and some talking animals. And we always hear from a lot of families and like Sunday school classes and elementary school classes that like really love it. So the fact that it has this special heart in with families and with kids, we like to, of course, play into that too. And Food for the Hungry is big on working with children, of course, right? It's it's something we talk about all the time. So if a family can provide for its, or if a community can provide for its kids, that's a huge indicator of health. So I think it just has come full circle. We all have this emphasis on children. So then some of the marketing material also caters to kids and the way they want to be a part of helping other kids.
My personal favorite from the gift guide is the sturdy goat. It's not just any goat. It's the sturdy goat.
Indeed. Yes, indeed. Yeah. Well, do you know a lot of goats, Shalane?
You know, because I personally don't. I can't say I do either.
Oh, they're always sturdy or they're rascals. And I don't know that the rascal thing was going to be such a great pitch on it. But yeah, I mean, I've had the privilege of traveling to some communities and you want a robust animal, you get a goat.
Okay.
Yeah.
I know about goats on the roof, but I don't know a lot about goats, I must confess. I just like the name. But I am curious. So how do different items make it into the gift guide? Now, maybe you've already answered why the goat, because it is such a sturdy, hardy animal. But how do things get in there? Where do they come from? How does it all get made up?
I always love that question because FH staff overseas and here in Canada are particularly proud of the fact that all the items in our gift guide are legit things that you would likely see in communities that we work in. Not in every single one, but in a lot of them. So every year, there's the big job of kind of going through what's coming up for the communities FH is working with. And for those of you that know a little bit more about how FH works, walking with a community means helping them realize their potential, look at their challenges, look at their stuck points, but also look at all their opportunities and all the assets they do have and make a plan with them. So mm-hmm. when communities have these goals in mind, we then work with them to say, okay, well, what can you do? What do you have? What would you like to see, you know, blossom in your community? So when the cow shows up in the gift guide, that means there are communities out there that want to get into dairy farming or want support with dairy farming. Yeah, all the other items are the same way that way. Like the items in the Food for the Hungry gift guide do change year to year based on the plans of those communities. And then the way that trickles back to our office to say, hey, here's things that we can then get Canadians to help fundraise for, put money into, support all the special mm-hmm. programs, the different kinds of items that come out of it.
That's one of the things that I love about mm-hmm. FH in general is that the initiative comes that direction from the communities to mm-hmm. the Canadian office, not the other way around.
That's right. Yeah. Yes. Eric, it's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, now I just have to ask because you got me thinking about this with the sturdy goats. So let's say I am someone in an affluent status and I would like to purchase 5,000 goats, let's say, through the gift guide.
5,000. Please do, Eric.
Yeah, you know what? I can help you with that. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. It's hypothetical. Let's say I buy 5,000 goats through the gift guide. Does that mean that FH will then deliver 5,000 sturdy, hardy goats to one community? And they will overrun the village, they will eat all the greenery, and they will decimate the local economy.
Wow, yeah. Eric, that's bleak.
Yeah, I mean, a herd of goats that size could do some damage, that's for sure. Essentially, yes, but no. So if a community has planned on an input or like an injection of massive goat farming and they're ready to go and the farmers are gearing up for it, mm-hmm. We would say, yeah, we would like to help them make that happen. Mm-hmm. But the flip of that, no, Food for the Hungry will not force thousands of goats on any community that's not planning on it. Yeah. So, yes. So if you buy 5,000 goats, the whole gift guide system is set up in a way that then once the need is met in a community or mm-hmm. their goals are beginning to be met, that funding will then get allocated to other like things, usually within the community or within kind of the same field of work. Mm-hmm. So if we get tons of money towards goats and farming with goats, that excess money will likely then go to those that are interested in doing chicken farming or into the gardening program or whatever. But we do work towards meeting the need first, mm-hmm. and then the surplus goes to help support other like programs.
I mean, we are doing a massive sales pitch for goats in this podcast right now. That's so true. I wouldn't be surprised. I'm not a fortune teller, but I wouldn't be surprised if you have a massive run on goats.
That would be great. Christmas. Isn't that funny? The goat is like the mascot, I think, of so many of these charity gifts, gift guide things, the whole give a goat scenario. But it is a good mascot in the sense that it really does embody sort of the practicality of it. So they're a sturdy little animal. They work in a lot of different communities. They actually do exist in a lot of these villages and communities in different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And they're just so darn practical. Mm-hmm. They'll eat all kinds of things, but a family can benefit them from the milk that they produce. They will have multiple kids at a time, so then you can start growing your goat herd. Mm-hmm. They're easy to maintain, and there's always the little bonus ads that you learn about along the way with a goat. I don't know if either of you have owned a goat.
No, I can't say I have.
No. I actually haven't either. I grew up on a farm, so okay. The whole animal angle of things is always a little closer to my heart, but a lot of these families, the goat isn't so big that a child can't take care of it. Mm-hmm. So it often, while it isn't maybe a pet, it's often that extra bit of like here's something the kids can be responsible for, and it is the son or the daughter's job to care for their little herd of goats. And it becomes a whole family affair to tend the goat, care for the goat, raise goats, start new goats. And then the other piece that I just have to mention about the goat, and I think the Food for Hungry's cow program, dairy cow program, there's a strong program in place where families that learn how to raise a goat and maybe will get a goat or whatever, there's sort of a pay it forward program in place where families that sign up to do these things are strongly encouraged to then the first offspring should go to another family that's also enrolled in the program or learning how to raise a goat or a cow or whatever other livestock their community hopes to do. So it becomes this beautiful sort of community effort where then now those that have received an animal and have learned all these things start to coach their neighbors and will pass on an offspring to a neighbor, or they'll be learning together. And maybe one family starts with the initial cow, and then the calves are going to the other families that are learning in maybe a little co-op. So it's pretty cool to see those moments where the families will pass it on to other families, and slowly the success begins to spread.
So, Mike, can you tell us a little bit about what the real life impact of the gift guide is, and any firsthand experience that you have of maybe being in one of these communities when someone is receiving something that was bought through the gift guide?
I have had the privilege of being at a few calf passing ceremonies. They do make a bit of a moment out of it, which is really awesome. So a few years ago, I had the privilege of going to Uganda to visit communities in the east side of the country where, the dairy cow programs was very strong. The area is very conducive to cattle, so it worked really well for these communities, and a lot of these families were really excited to get going on a dairy cow program. A dairy cow is a big deal for a family there because, like we were saying, it means all these extra benefits of milk and manure and calves, and you can start the whole business. And they were often running them in co-ops, so you would get four or five farmers signing up together, learning together what it would look like to raise a cow. You know, building the shelter, what kind of fodder you need, supporting of it. And then comes the big moment when the initial family of maybe the five or six families gets that one cow. And so they raise this cow and then it gets pregnant. And once the baby comes and is healthy, there's this lovely moment where they all gather together and the two families are there, and usually an FH staff. And in true East African style, there's always some good singing or chanting and big smiles. And then there's the ceremonious handing over of the leash of the little calf. And and they take that calf home. So it is pretty cool.
Wow.
To just see, like, I don't know, the smiles are bigger and real in those kinds of moments, right? Because so much has gone into that, you know, between the different families involved. And then I think when you watch other families have so much success from having a cow, and then you finally get that calf, and you know that that calf's going to be such a game changer for likely the next few years of your life, if not the rest of your life. That's a pretty key moment. And the thing too that hits me too is, and they don't, when what I've heard with families, especially in Uganda, you don't hear about some of those practical things as much as we like to emphasize them, right? They don't celebrate the fact that, oh, I'm going to now have milk and I'm going to now have manure for my garden and things like that. It's kind of like what we were saying earlier with what's with the mindset change in terms of facing your poverty and fighting it off and becoming self-sustainable. You hear these families comment on the hope it brings them. And like the excitement it brings them, and this is going to change my life. And they don't talk about like, oh, I'm looking forward to having milk in my cereal in the morning. They look forward to saying, I'm going to be able to send my kids to school, and I'm going to be able to pay for the school fees. And I look forward to my children going to school healthy and strong. And they know the big, big impacts, and they get pretty excited about it.
It's that dreaming again.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Awesome.
So when I first started working for Food to the Hungry, this was a number of years back, I had the privilege of going to Busekera, Rwanda, And within the first few days, we were taken to the home of one family, and I met their son, Tuyambazi. I think I'm hope I'm saying his name right. But that was the first time I met a farming family in a partner community that had received a pig through some of the support that the gift guide provides. So this young boy, and I mean, it's been a few years now, he's probably a young man now. He was so proud to pull me to the back of their house and show me the pen in the back with the pigs, who, of course, you know, making lots of squealing noises and stuff, but that didn't faze him at all because he wanted to show me those pigs and he wanted to get his picture taken with his pigs. And then, of course, through translation, I got to learn all about all the other benefits that were affecting his family. So Tuyambazi had not been able to go to school prior to FH's involvement, and they struggled in their mud hut on their small piece of land to just kind of make ends meet. And from that, of course, they also pulled me further into their garden where they had started a banana grove. So thanks to the pig and the manure coming from the pig and then all the piglets, they now had a banana grove going. And the sale of the piglets had led to Tuyambazi being able to get or being admitted into school. And he was the oldest of several siblings. So now his younger siblings were also being better supported by their growing farm. And the picture that holds fast in my mind from that interaction was the grandma and Tuyambazi and his two parents. And they all sort of clustered around each other to get a family photo. And just like we would do here in Canada, they all clustered up with huge smiles and smirks, you know, with their little home and their pig pen in the background. And I thought, that's pretty awesome. Wow. You know, the pride and the hope that this one pink little animal provided for them. Yeah. And what's cool too is when I think back on Tuyambazi, I can't say I know exactly what's happened since then. But I don't really worry, and I don't think his parents worry the same way they used to either. And I'm sure he went on with his education and with his knowledge of farming to likely start doing the same thing in his own community. So,
yeah. Amazing. What a beautiful illustration of that, and so on and so on and so on. The impact just grows and affects in so many different ways. Thank you for sharing that.
And also, if our listeners have questions, please feel free to reach out at podcast@fhcanada.org. We'd love to hear your thoughts on this conversation, and more than happy to answer any questions that have come up for you. I wanted to ask you, Mike, like, how do you see the impact on the Canadian side of things? You know, it's so important that we talk about, here's how the gift guide has a real tangible impact on these communities that FH partners with. And you touched on this a little bit with the family and the children's piece, but are there other ways that you see Canadians getting impacted? And you'd obviously have families and communities in Canada who are supporting the gift guide every year. Like, what do you hear from people? What impact does the gift guide have on Canadians like you and me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was quite a privilege to go to Uganda with a team of dairy farmers. And I think that's the best part is you work with people who get it just that much more. So these are all farmers who really had supported that program or the dairy farming in Uganda in a special way, and then took it upon themselves to go and visit and see what it was all about. But even better yet, to sit with some of these farmers and have a conversation and exchange notes on what it looks like in the two different settings to raise cattle and apply, you know, ask questions of some of these Canadian dairy farmers who've been doing it in their families for generations, but also for the Canadians to sit there and ask, you know, what does it look like here? You know, their situations are so different in terms of having to raise an entire animal. So it's cool to see them the cultures be bridged over a cow or over some sheep or some chickens, because there's common ground where you can just be friends over that. So while I know most people can't travel to go visit with some of these families and really engage in that way, we do get a lot of wonderful feedback from especially families that it's just such a meaningful way to know you can really do something real and something practical. And you can envision what then will happen with when I support chickens or school supplies. You can actually envision that that follows through, and you will have kids in school. You will have kids and families raising chickens. I think some of the other highlight stories is just some of the fun that Canadians have with it. So there's a lot of school classes that will get involved in this way. So they want, especially teachers or parents, they want to teach their kids what it looks like to give and what it looks like to be a part of thinking about people other than ourselves who maybe have a special need or stronger needs than we do. So the gift guide is very accessible in that way. And it makes sense to kids and to families when there's these practical elements involved. But then it's just that much more meaningful. So we do hear from a lot of kids who had a lot of fun fundraising for collecting bottles, doing a little bake sale or something at school, to then flip through the gift guide and kind of have that goal in mind. Like, we wanted to buy, you know, 10 pairs of chickens or 5 pigs. That was our big goal.
So awesome.
And then you get to see the pictures and hear the stories. And then we get the privilege, of course, of sharing stories back. Mm-hmm. So we quite regularly hear back from families and partner communities that have started pig farms and have started gardens and are now saving their money or started little businesses. And then we can share those stories and photos back to those families and those school classes and those Sunday school classes to say, hey, something's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is an impact that you're a part of. That's so cool.
And then you bridge those relationships. You end up bridging those two communities saying like, hey, check it out. Like these people's are excited about what you got to support, and they're not so far away and they're not so different. And we're all smiling and giggling while we, you know, try to hold the chicken. Like, it's maybe not a great, my brain just sort of stumbled there, but that's the picture you see. You'll get back a photo of like a kid or a person holding their chicken. Right. And we do that here too. So.
Yep. Yeah, that's great. You know, what comes to mind, Mike, is my nephew actually used the gift guide to purchase a Christmas present for his teacher. So you want to talk a little bit about how that works, how you can purchase something on someone else's behalf?
Yes, thank you. That's another beautiful angle. And it's actually a huge part of Canadians' experience with the gift guide is we have a mechanism built in place where you can buy on behalf of other people. And that is probably why it's so popular around the Christmas season is a lot of Canadians will buy a goat, buy a cow for someone in a partner community. But essentially, you can do that on behalf of anyone here in Canada in lieu of then maybe giving them an actual physical present yet again. So at Food for the Hungry, when you do that, we provide a card or an opportunity to print a card from your home or to send an e-card to that nature that signifies and acknowledges like, hey, I bought this awesome gift in your name, but for those that maybe needed a little bit more. So no, I cannot, alas, buy you, Shalane and Eric, your own goats and have them sent to your house here in Canada. But I think we both agree that you would rather that go to someone over in a partner community that maybe needs it.
You know, knowing you, Mike, I'm actually kind of relieved that that can't happen. Because I feel like it could.
Yeah, it's true. There's the water well and clean water. There is medicine. There is food aid. There is school supplies. There is furnish a classroom. There's children's breakfast club. Yeah, all these different kinds of awesome ways that communities are hoping to improve and better their futures represented in these different kinds of items. Yeah, like Eric, you mentioned a piece of crap. And as cheeky as that gift is, it's probably the one I buy the most for people in my family. And yeah, my family has a great sense of humor and they get it. But the name is there because it has a few angles to it in the sense that it does support composting and sort of green ways of farming are a big part of Food for the Hungry programming and coaching and training. So it's something actually, one of the few gifts that exists in all partner communities is organic fertilizers, composting, gardening. So that kind of item will support all of those programs. We don't actually bring in crap into the communities per se, but it is embodied that way.
Again,
representative, yeah, phew. But on the same note, like, I kind of get a kick out of giving that gift card or that greeting card to my brother-in-law and my sisters because they just don't need more crap at certain times of
like
the year.
That old jewelry campaign, what do you get for the person who has everything? It's like the answer is a piece of crap.
Thank you. That is exactly it. Because they don't need more crap, so I may as well literally give you a piece of crap.
There you go.
And here you go. Yeah. And it makes them smile. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. It makes you smile because someone gave you a greeting card that says piece of crap in it. And I apologize to those that don't love some of the words used there. But then it makes them smile also realizing like, oh, this actually helps somebody that really could make the most of a luscious garden.
So Mike, I know we've talked so much about the gift guide. Where can people actually find it?
Yeah. So the Food for the Hungry Gifts for Change gift guide does actually show up in a magazine form that usually every season comes out in October, November. So you can flip through the pages and enjoy those puns to your leisure and then act on the items you see there. It also is online. So we have a wonderful interactive website then that you can shop at fhcanada.org/gifts, where people can browse the different practical items that are being looked forward to in communities this coming season. And that usually, those items will get refreshed around every October when communities kind of refresh their plan and look forward to their year ahead.
Mike, we usually ask people what books or resources they would recommend. I'm just going to assume that you're going to recommend the gift guide. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yes. I would say the online gift guide is a great place to look at pictures and things like that. On top of that, Food for the Hungry maintains a blog. Mm-hmm. And on that blog is where we regularly showcase stories of real people interacting with a lot of those items and programs and coaching and opportunities that they're getting through support of Canadians. So that can also be found at the Food for the Hungry website at fhcanada.org.
Very awesome. Cool. And Eric and I have one more piece of information that we actually really need an answer for before we wrap up, Mike.
I wasn't prepared for this.
But I know you want to know, Eric.
Hit me.
So, Mike, what animal do you really want to be the voice of?
I do think I would make a decent pig, but mostly because my family, even though I grew up on a dairy farm, so the cow is a little bit close to my heart, we always just joked about pigs because it was one animal I did not grow up with on the farm was a pig.
Okay.
So it's like, right. It's like the unicorn of my family that we
And that pretty much, that's a magical way to end this, Mike.
Isn't that so magical? So.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here, Mike. This has been a great conversation. And like you said, we totally encourage people to check out the FH Canada website, check out the online gift guide. Please reach out if you have questions or anything at all. Shalane, was there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we wrap up?
I don't think so. I know that we've been looking forward to this conversation, Mike, and you do not disappoint.
Oh, I'm flattered. Yes. Yeah. We're not just fluff, but we do enjoy.
That's right.
All of it.
Exactly. We sure do. Well, thanks again for being here, Mike, and look forward to seeing how those communities are impacted by the generosity of Canadians and their interaction with us through the gift guide.
Indeed. Thank you guys so much.
Hi, it's Mike from Food for the Hungry Canada. You too can make an impactful change. FH Canada's Gifts for Change gift guide is brimming with utterly powerful and practical gifts that are all the grave. From a sturdy goat, to girl power, to send food aid, to a dairy cow, flex those giving muscles, and help families get a better life. And bring a smile to you and loved ones, too. Shop gifts at fhcanada.org. That's fhcanada.org.